To First Peter chapter 3, and I have just one verse for the time we have before us tonight. First Peter chapter 3 verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. So my title is very simple: An Audience with God. How we sinners can have a permanent, everlasting audience with the living God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So I believe 1 Peter 3:18 is one of the most concise verses of the Bible which speak about the work and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, his life, his death, his resurrection, his sufferings. Everything is in this verse. And this is a verse that explains why Christ came on this earth. Normally, we should wonder, who is Christ? This is God. God taking a human body. He became like us, with the exception that he had no sin. So tonight, this verse is telling us we can have a permanent and everlasting audience with our God. Christ came so that we can have that everlasting relationship and fellowship with God. My brothers and sisters, and if there is somebody here tonight who has never sought and found the Lord, please, can I tell you something? There is no greater gift, there is no greater blessing you can have on this earth and in the world to come, greater or bigger or more important than leaving this building tonight, being forgiven, and being made righteous before God. There is no... You may win the lottery, you may win the whole world, but there is no greater gift than to live to my guilts, my sins, open sins, secret sins, everything can be forgiven unto me if I come to Christ. So here is the gospel in its most simple form. First of all, what does the verse tell us? It tells us that Christ also had once suffered. And we could go through many passages. Remember, the sufferings of Christ were prophesied in hundreds of verses in the Old Testament. Hundreds of prophecies have been prophesied and predicting that Christ will come and suffer. And he himself, if you look at Luke chapter 9, verse 22, Luke chapter 24, even at one stage he said to his disciples, "O fool and slow of heart to believe, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And he said to them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected and be slain. So Christ himself spoke about his sufferings. But I want to draw your attention on something. This is the most unfair. People in this world, they say, "Oh, it's unfair. I do not deserve it. This is not right. It's not righteousness. I should have better." But this is the most unfair suffering ever, but for the greatest good ever. But please, my brothers and sisters, have you noticed something? Peter says, for Christ Oh, Christ, he could have said for Jesus, but he chose well that word. Christ. Who is Christ? The anointed one, the chosen one. And if you look at earlier in chapter 3 here, verse 15, the Lord Jesus is called Lord. So the same Lord now is called Christ. And you can see, hopefully, if he suffered, this is the divine king who became a man. He suffered, but he is the anointed one. And you don't need me, I'm sure, to remind you that in the Old Testament, only three kind of people were anointed: the prophets, the priests, and the kings. And you can see Christ being called the Messiah, the chosen one. The Christ combines all the three offices in one person. Just in him. Oh, he could have said Jesus suffered, but he chose expressly Christ. And sometimes when people ask me, who is Jesus Christ? Never underestimate the meaning of names in the Bible. Names in the Bible are not just given because that's the latest fashion, or the newborn prince will be called with this or that name, or because the television likes that name, so we must give it to our children. Every name in the Bible has a meaning. The name Jesus means God saves. God is the Savior. And Christ means the chosen one. So if you put that in a sentence, especially if I could speak directly to the children, when somebody asks you, who is Jesus Christ? Oh, the meaning of his name, God saves us through the chosen one. That's all. Who can save us? The one who was chosen by God himself. So we have a human here, but he's also God, but he became a man, as I explained earlier. The difference between him and us is that he is God, he is perfect. When men went to the moon, they said that was a great step. No. The great step is that God came on this earth. And we should marvel about what Christ has done to save us. So his death was meaningful. It was purposeful. He's the promised prophet, Deuteronomy chapter 18. He's the beloved son, the only begotten son of the living God. He's the one who should sit on the throne of David. In Acts chapter 10, verse 43, we are told that all the prophet gave witness that whosoever believeth in him shall receive the remission of sins. So Peter says, Christ also suffered. But the second thing is that Christ's death, it was a violent death. My brothers and sisters, the cross was not a jewelry. It was not something where people were putting on their neck or walk with. It was a shame. Even if you were the greatest noble person in that time, if you were crucified, you become a pariah. Nothing. The lepers were better than you. The brigand was better than you. And you lose any humanity. This is what Christ has done by dying. Galatians chapter 3, there was a curse. Even in the Old Testament, there was a curse on somebody dying on a cross. So Christ died the most violent and unbearable death. But remember again, the physical death of Christ is nothing compared to the spiritual agony, the spiritual pain he was going through on that cross. He didn't deserve it. Remember Christ by dying on the cross. Oh, sometimes people say, Adam, why Adam did this? If Adam didn't sin, this world would not be upside down. But actually, I tell them, you know, if I was there, I would do the same. And in my case, I would do even worse. But I'm explaining this because actually, Christ dying on the cross of Calvary, it is as if you and me, we join with the crowd saying, crucify him, crucify him. We were there. And maybe we would have done even something worse if we were there. So he died a violent death. And Bible tells us that Christ died according to the scriptures, and he was buried. He was put to death on that cross. But the verse tells us that he was quickened. Christ didn't remain in the grave. He was risen from the dead. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. My brothers and sisters, Peter, who is writing about the death of Christ, you remember Matthew 16, the first time the Lord said to him he's going to die, the text, Matthew 16, says that he rebuked the Lord. Oh, not to you. Never. This should never happen to you. In Luke chapter 22, they came to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ, and he wanted to do justice to the Lord. You remember how he cut the ear of one of the soldiers who came to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the man who was radically against Christ's death. But now he understood that without the death of cross on the of Christ on the cross of Calvary, there will be no remission of sins. And later in chapter 5, in the same letter, chapter 5, verse 1, he says, I have witnessed. I was among the witnesses of his sufferings. So Christ suffered, and he also died. It was a cruel death on that cross. But the third thing, we are told, not only he suffered and he died, but he died once. That's why I read from Hebrews chapter 9. If you are a Bible student, I will urge you, go back to Hebrews again. Actually, from Hebrews 8, 9, and 10, it's like a recurrent reference you find there. Once for all, himself, not someone else, but himself. He gave himself once for all. Never to be repeated again. Never to be renewed again. Once for all, and it was enough. All is done once for all, and it was perfect. It is finished. Nothing to add. That's why we do not agree with the Roman Catholic Church. Every Sunday, the Lord Jesus Christ is crucified again on that cross. Never to be repeated again. The ceremonial sacrifices will never be reinstituted again. The temple will never be reconstructed again. Why? Because Christ has suffered once for all, and it was perfect. His death had no lapsing, no expiry date. It is permanent. So the benefits and the validity of the cross of Christ are eternal. But why? Why did he die? Have you ever asked yourself why Christ must die on that cross? Many people died. Thousands of people were crucified on crosses throughout the Roman Empire and throughout history. Why is this crucifixion was so special? What's the difference? And the text gives us an answer. Please look at it again. For Christ also has once suffered for sins. Not sins in singular, but sins in plural. The mountain of my sins, the mountain of my lies, the mountain of all the mockery, the way I spurned the Lord, I have rejected him, the mountain of all my jealousy, or all my envies, all my lusts, all my covetousness, and so on. Every sin you can think about, no matter how old you are. Christ, the Bible tells us, he died for sins, if we believe in him. Yes, that's the inescapable fact that we are all guilty. We are sinners. We are sinners by choice, and we are sinners by nature. We are sinners by principle, but we are sinners by practice also. Sin is universal. And you know, sin is not confined to one race. Sometimes we think, oh, the others are worse than us. But it's in our heart. It is printed. Our identity before God. No man doeth good. No man is righteous before. Romans 3 verse 9 and 10. Romans 3 verse 23. All have sinned and come short to the glory of God. Everyone, every person. And sin separates us from God. Please, do you know how sin is evil? Do you want to know how hideous and heinous sin is? Oh, just think about the cost. How much it costs to save sinners like us. The only begotten Son of God being on the cross. Not because he deserves it, but because he has a number of people he wants to save. And tonight, I come to Christ. I repent from my sins. I trust in his precious blood which was shed on that cross. I'm lifted up. And as I said, there is no greater joy than to leave this building knowing that all my sins are forgiven. Christ, because I have put my trust in him, will forgive my sins. The only way for God to remain just and holy, and at the same time to be gracious and loving, is that a perfect sacrifice must be given. And the verse tells us, Christ suffered for sins. So he's the solution. He's the remedy. He has given himself. Oh, he could have given us bulls. He could have given us calves. He could have given us camels. He could have given us lambs. He could have given us sheep. But no, that couldn't make it. Only a perfect sacrifice is required by God. But do you see something else said about the Lord Jesus Christ? The text reminds us that Christ also had suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. He's the righteous one. And Peter could look, when you read again Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4 and so on, Peter could look the religious leaders of his nation and he will say to them, you have put to death the righteous one, the holy one, and you have asked to be put in his place a malefactor, Barabbas. He's the righteous one. He's the holy one. He's the just. But who are we, friends? Who are we? The verse says, we are the unjust ones. We are sinners, dead in our sins and trespasses. And we are separated. We are millions of miles away from the living God. And there is no way to be reconciled with God unless that perfect sacrifice is given. We are the lawbreakers. We broke the law of God. We broke his 10 commandments. But do you see, he died. Christ died to be a substitute for our sins. If we trust in him, he took our hell, our woes, our infirmities. If we believe in that price which was paid on that cross. Whatever Christ did was perfect and well-pleasing. And I'm sure you hear people in this world, they say, there is no perfect one. Nobody's perfect. But here it is. There is somebody perfect. The Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect one. Never had a bad temper. Never had a bad word coming out of his mouth. Never had even a desire to sin. He has no original sin, no imparted sin, no sin in deeds, no sin in thoughts. This is perfect. He's the most excellent person who has ever walked on this earth. Oh, in Christ, he's the righteous one, the solvent that doeth good and sinneth not. He did not suffer for his own sins, for he had none. So, my brothers and sisters, on that cross, there was a divine and sweet exchange. Christ took upon himself our crimes, our sins, our lies, our guilt. He took it upon himself if we trust in his precious blood. On that cross, we remember he was forsaken, that none of us will ever be forsaken by God. Come to Christ. He is the price which was paid in order to save you. He died to save us, but he lives to keep us. But there is something else before I close. Christ died for a specific purpose, a specific reason. The verse tells us. Do you see it in the verse? For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. That means we were not with God. Somebody must bring us. Left to ourselves, we will never come. We were alien to God. We were separated from God. You know, a king, a queen, a priest, a pilgrimage cannot take us to God. We paddled about in our own sins. And the only way, somebody must bring us to Christ. My brothers and sisters, the word bring there in the Greek text is an interesting word. It is a word used to speak about a high rank officer who is in charge to introduce a person to the king. That was the role, if you please, of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord Jesus Christ came on this earth in order to take you, a sinner, and introduce you to the living God. That's the meaning of the word, that he might bring us to God. And by his blood, we can now enter into the most holy place. We can come boldly unto the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. He came to close that distance. My brothers and sisters, I never had the privilege to meet a king or a queen. But believe me, most of things I hear and read about kings, after an hour, get rid of them. But with the Lord Jesus Christ, he closed that separation, that distance which separates us from God. He closed it. And now when I come, I can stay. I can know God. My prayers can be heard from heaven. I receive a new heart. My heart is not polluted anymore in the sense that now it has been cleansed by the precious blood of Christ. It is not wicked as before. But now I'm a saint. I'm a saint. I was saying not long time ago, there was a wedding in the church and a lady came in that church. We were three of us, three brothers from the church. And she asked me, do you have saints in this church? And I looked at her and I said, yes, but where are they? And I said, here is one, here is one, here is one. I think she was looking for something which will glitter or shining. Here are they. Every person who has trusted in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has repented from his wicked ways, Bible says we are adopted in the family of God and we become saints. Sinner, saints. That's our new name. We are received in God and in the courts of God forever. We repent from our sinful ways. Christ leads us. And he gives us free access to God. I have nothing else to do. I trust in his merits. I plead the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what happens? My rags of sins are changed into riches in heaven. My darkness is transformed into light. My slavery, I move from being slave to sin. And now I'm a free man. John chapter 8 verse 36 says, if the Son of God sets you free, free you are indeed. When people, you Christians, you are not free. You cannot do. No, we are the most free people in the world because we have been separated from our sins. We have received forgiveness from above. And now we can call God Abba Father. There is no greater joy than to know God as a father. So trust in the merits of the mediator. Can I close by saying, Christ is calling us, come unto me. Not come unto a religion, but come unto life. Because he is the life giver. He is the life sustainer. He is the life preserver. And I come to him. He gives me everlasting life. I'm taken into the very presence of God. Will you look to Christ tonight? His sufferings became our blessings. Trust in him. Worship him and yield your life unto him. And cry. Luke chapter 18 verse 13 is the shortest prayer for a sinner in the Bible. Oh Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. And I come and I trust in him. He holds the keys and decides who should have audience with the King of Kings. The good news is that Christ came. And he came to save sinners who put their trust in him. And gives us a free, royal, and divine permanent audience with God. Believe in him. He is the mediator. He is the one who brings us to God. Can I read this verse again to close? For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Come to Christ. He paid the price. Let's pray together. O Lord, our gracious and heavenly Father, how can we plead with thee again tonight? We know our feeble words cannot convert anyone. It is only by grace, by the power of the Holy Spirit. But we believe in the power of the preaching of the Word of God. And we trust that the Holy Spirit will take these words and speak to the heart and bring that deep conviction of sin, of God's righteousness and God's judgment in the life of a sinner. We thank thee that Christ came to bring us and to take us to God, because left to ourselves, no religion could have done that. No man on this earth, no matter how great he is, could have done that. But it is only by the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise thee, Lord. And we give thee thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.